Welcome. It's so wonderful to see so many young faces and older faces. Whiter faces like mine. It's wonderful that we can all come together to remember such an amazing point in the history of our creation. A point when this most glorious spark of divine light comes from the infinite down into the finiteness of this creation. To be born as a child, just like each one of us here. And this child that we've named, or is named Jesus, is a child that came with a special purpose. A purpose to remind us of who we are in our essence. And in the Gospel reading of John, we hear, all things came into being through Him. What has come into being in Him was life. Life, life, life. That's it. Simple. That's what we have received from our Creator, and that's what this being that we know as Jesus has come to remind us about. And this experience as a baby is something that I find, which I think I can relate to a lot of the people here and the sounds in this wonderful room, that call from us something that's special. Something that we find we don't share with another person. When we see a baby, we just find ourselves drawn to this child. They're so vulnerable. They're open. They're receptive. There's no judgment or criticism. It's just this pureness and this innocence. And they make sounds and they get upset. But they see life as it is. No second guessing, oh, that shouldn't have been that way. It just is. And like it or they don't like it, but I mean, life just happens. And there's no preconceived conception. There's just this spark of this awareness. But it's so pure. And I think Jesus is coming in this world as an infant to remind us of who we were at one point. That similar divine spark, but we've forgotten. There's a poem by William Wordsworth that I'd like to share with you that just illustrates this beautifully. Our birth is but a sleep and a forgetting. The soul that rises with us, our life's star, hath had elsewhere its setting and cometh from afar. Not in entire forgetfulness, and not in utter nakedness, but trailing clouds of glory do we come. From God, who is our home, heaven lies about us in our infancy. Heaven lies about us in our infancy. We've all come into this creation with trailing clouds of glory. Some of us may ask, what happened? But just a few, this is about a month ago, for Thanksgiving, I was down in Los Angeles, and my sister had a newborn baby named Alexandra. Only, I guess, about a month, 2 months old at that time. And I got a chance to just sit there and watch her. And I was watching her at one point, and she wasn't, there was nobody else around. I was out of her peripheral view. And I can see her just spontaneously smile and giggle. Like, who was stimulating this child? This child was witnessing something that our eyes that with which we are looking at now aren't seeing. But the children, the babies in this room probably are enjoying the heaven that lies about us. There is something that's angelic, not just around the child, but in the child. That trailing cloud of glory, that spark of life from where we have all come, coming from that divine light. And it's something that calls forth in us similar qualities of this openness, this vulnerability. but at least I can't anymore, but I was in Yantian, Chinese restaurant with my family just a few days ago, and there was a baby about a table and a half over, and my wife just said, oh, look at that baby, he's so cute. She had to go introduce herself and meet the baby. So it's just something that we find ourselves drawn to, this innocence, this openness. There's just a sweetness about them. And I think Jesus, God is calling forth in us those qualities, some of that openness, that vulnerability, that we love ourselves when we come into contact with grandchildren and nieces and nephews that are just adorable because they're so precious the way they are. My older son was telling me about my niece. He's like, oh, the baby's so cute. At age 9, it just comes with us. But then we get this experience of life where we kind of begin to adopt these different perspectives and choices of what it is we like and don't like. We judge things how we think we ought to be and how we're not. It's not fair that the way they are. For the life of me, I try to get my younger son to like eggs, and it just won't happen. There's things we do not like. We just have preferences. We have choices that we like to make. And we slowly begin to feel the pulls of life to be achieving something, to become something. That's right. We try to become something that we think is important. Yeah, I just laughed that, I know. And we want to experience something that we think is important, something that we think is discovering who we are, becoming what we imagine to be something honorable in this life, fulfilling, meaningful. But in this baby Jesus, we can see, as we see in all of our infants, they just are. They're pure, they're beautiful. Nothing has to be different. And so we go through life crying, complaining, joyous, happy, experiencing all kinds of things that maybe we'd like different, maybe we love and we want more of. And getting mixed up in this beautiful creation. This creation, this divine mother that is part of who we are too. And we identify with the forces of this creation, losing the focus of what is most authentically true, that we are that divine spark. We can never separate ourselves from that divine spark, from that divine light. As Emmanuel Swedenborg writes, if we were to separate ourselves even just for a moment, we would cease to exist. Because our very being rests on that. So, in life, as adults, we have this wonderful reminder, this opportunity to come back to that core essence of who we are. To that essential quality that Jesus is calling in us to live out more fully. And it seems like it's difficult, but it is very simple. It is because it's part of who we are. Why? Because it was what we came with when we were first born. In a way, we can remind ourselves on a regular basis about remember. Keep it somewhere where we don't forget. Remind ourselves as we go about our life, our days, about who we really are and to whom we really belong and from where we really came. And then, for whatever particular spiritual practice you may have, it's an amazing time. You just look on the internet, you can walk down the street and find spiritual paths and practices all around. Especially here in San Francisco, it's amazing. But whatever your practice is, to hold that awareness of who you truly are. I remember one story. I was talking to my mentor, Father Greg Comella, who was listening to the NBC News, and he had told me that there's this new policy that Disney was trying to encourage at the Disneyland theme parks, that when a child becomes lost, instead of trying to tell the children, instead of walking around trying to look for mommy and daddy or grandparents or relatives, to just stop, sit down right where they are, and let themselves be found. And the point about that spiritually is that we go about this life for these years, decades of experiences on this creation, going in search of who we really are. But all we have to do is to actually stop, take a moment out of our regular day, our lives, sit down, and just be. And just listen. Be open. Be vulnerable. However much time you can be with them. 5 minutes, 20 minutes, an hour, whatever you have time for. And then we get up and we go about our life, and then we experience the dynamics of this creation where there's relationships and the struggles and the challenges. And we find ourselves getting pulled into strong emotions. Not part of this growing up that we have is putting on layers of protection so we don't have to feel the pain that comes our way sometimes. We can't help it. It's just built into this creation. You touch a hot pot when you're a child, ouch, you get burnt. Some mean things get said in a relationship, ouch, you get hurt. And so, as an adult, we have the opportunity to begin to feel some of that hurt. Not to block it, but to come to know the way life is. To accept life the way it is. Just like an infant. Just like a toddler. And to allow ourselves to experience in that vulnerability, in that receptivity, something that wants to be born anew. As the poet who was influenced by Emanuel Swedenborg, William Blake wrote, the romantic history poet, saying, "If the doors of perception were cleansed, everything would appear to man as it were infinite. Everything would appear as it already is. Infinite." So, I invite you during this Christmas season and into this new year to make time for the infinite to find you. For the infinite to touch you. We just need to be open, vulnerable, receptive to what this most glorious spark of divine light wants to offer us, wants to teach us again about who we most authentically are. And in that and through that, slowly, we come to realize that God already is. Even to the point that our very breath is God's breath. Amen.